We continue our learning. Now we know there are many mitzvahs that we have that are d'oraisa. Some are explicitly written in the Torah, and others are d'oraisa, but they're derived through an oral tradition, through Torah Sheba'al Peh. And then we have sometimes we have something written in the Torah, but many of the details are only Torah Sheba'al Peh. So take for example Hilchos Shabbos, which we'll mention in the Mishnah, and we'll see how this relates to Chagiga in a few minutes. But Hilchos Shabbos as an example. So the Torah says you can't do malacha on Shabbos, but the specific malachos that we're not permitted to perform, and some of the rules, some of the principles that govern them, that is all Torah Sheba'al Peh. So the Mishnah here is going to go through different categories, different types of laws that we have, some which are explicit in the Torah, some which are completely through Torah Sheba'al Peh, some which are written in the Torah somewhat, but the details are Torah Sheba'al Peh. So the Mishnah begins. Heter nedarim porchin ba'avir. So the fact that a person is able to do hataras nedarim, a person takes a vow and he's able to release the vow by going to a chacham or going to a beis din of three. So this is something that's porchin ba'avir. Literally, it's something that hovers in the air. It's one of the rules of the Torah that we only know through Torah Sheba'al Peh. There is no pasuk in the Chumash that says you can go to a chacham to do hataras nedarim. The Torah says lo yachel devaro, which means that a person as an individual, the one who undertook the vow, cannot literally profane his word. So what does that mean? It means that he does not have the ability to somehow to annul his vow, but to make it null and void, but others can. So lo yachel devaro, he can't profane his word. But if you go to a chacham, so the chacham will be able to somewhat profane your word in the sense that he's able to release you from that vow. So that's something that's not written in the Chumash, but it's something we derive through Torah Sheba'al Peh. But the ein lohem alma yismosha yismoch, which means that which we deduce is really something that has nothing specific written in the Chumash from where we would derive that. So there's a remez. Nonetheless, this is all Torah Sheba'al Peh. What about Hilchos Shabbos? So we're going to have Hilchos Shabbos of Chagigos v'Hami'ilos, Harei Heim, Kahararin, Hatluyin v'Sara. So these three categories, we'll discuss each of them in a moment. Shabbos, the laws of Shabbos, the Korban Chagiga, as we've been discussing, and Me'ila, misappropriation using Hekdesh, getting benefit from something that was designated for the Beis HaMikdash, they are like mountains that are suspended by a hair, Harara Matulim Basara. In what way? Shehin Mikro Muat. Very few psukim tell us about these halachos, yet halachos Murubos, many, many halachos Torah Sheba'al Peh. So on the one hand, but this category, as opposed to Heter Nedarim, which has no pasuk at all that really tells you that you can be Matir Neder. Hilchos Shabbos, we know Hilchos Shabbos. You can't do malacha on Shabbos. Chagiga, the Torah speaks about Chagiga. Mi'ila, Torah speaks about not getting benefit from that which has been designated to the Beis HaMikdash. So they are Hararim Hatzulim Basara. They're hanging literally by a hair thread, because they're mikra mu'ud, very few psukim that speak about it, but many, many halachos. So let's go through each one. Here we have Hilchos Shabbos. So Hilchos Shabbos, one of the principles that the Gemara discusses is the idea of a malacha she'ena tzrichot gufa. We discussed this in the second parak and other places also of Masechah Shabbos. That's where you have a case where, let's say, a person digs in the ground. So a person digs in the ground, you're making a hole in the ground. So when you make a hole in the ground, if I'm making a hole in the ground because I want to use the dirt, so there's one reason why that may not be an Isser d'oraisa. So because when the Mishkan was built, the malacha of chofer, of digging, choresh, plowing, was to make a hole in the ground to place in the Mishkan, to put in the poles that you need for the Mishkan. Here, I'm digging the hole for a different person. It's a malacha, she'ena tzricha legufa. The gufa means the purpose, the tachlis of the malacha. I'm doing it for a different tachlis. I'm doing it for a different purpose. I am digging a hole for to use the dirt and not to make a hole. So therefore, that's not why they did it in the Mishkan, and therefore, maybe this would have machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's patra v'lasher, it's only an issa d'rabbana. There was also the fact that this is a kilkul. Kilkul means that when I dig in the ground, I'm ruining the ground. So if I'm using it, add on the fact that first of all, I'm doing it different than they did in the Mishkan, and now it's making a hole. I want to use the dirt, so making the hole, I don't really want to make a hole if I don't have to. I just want to use the dirt, but by doing so, I'm doing something destructive. The rule is kolam akalkulin pturin. If you do something destructive, generally, that's only an issur d'rabbanan based on the principle of meleches machsheves. Meleches machsheves is a guiding principle in Hilchos Shabbos. purposeful work, that's something that's constructive. And if it's not constructive, it's destructive. So then it moves down to a notch to an Issa D'Rabbanan only. So Hilchos Shabbos, it's true, the Torah says don't do Malacha on Shabbos. But this type of principle, Malacha Shenis Lugufa or Kilkel, for example, Malachas Malchavis, you don't have written explicitly in the Chumash. I would not know based on that, based on what's written in the Chumash, that this would be. And the Malachas themselves, I could derive, let's say, from the construction in the Mishkan. But these types of principles, I would not know without Torah Shebaal Peh. Next is Chagigos. What do you mean? The Korban Chagiga, isn't that written in the Chumash? So it's not so simple, because when it says Chag, V'samachta B'chagecha, so all of that could refer to maybe what it says in the Chumash, where we see in the beginning of Shmos, Shmos Perakei, V'yachogu li ba-midbar. Moshe asked that we should go out to the Midbar to serve Hashem, V'yachogu li. How do I know what V'yachogu li? I mean, it means to celebrate. We should be happy. How do I know? It means to bring a carbon. I only know that from Amos, Perakei, where it says, Hazvachim u'mincha higashtem li ba-midbar. That it speaks about bringing clothes, bringing shlamim, and karbonos mincha, meal offerings, flour offerings to Hashem in the Midbar. Obviously, then, that tells us that v'yachogu li ba-midbar, v'yachogu is not just celebration and joy, it actually means karbonos. So that's how I know that chagigos, it's true, the Torah mentions v'samachta b'chagecha, but without the Torah shel Baal Peh, or that, without at least the Nevi'im coming to clarify what that means, and it cannot be derived straight from the Chumash, I need it to be explicated, let's say, by the Nevi'im. So that's an allusion from the Torah, but that I have, but I don't have it written explicitly in the Chumash. So that's why we say it's Hararim Hatzlim Basara. Really, in the Chumash itself, it's holding by a hair thread, but there are many halachos, of course, that follow. Mikra Muat and halachos Merubos. Same thing can be said about Mi'ila. Mi'ila, where we say a person misappropriates from the Beis HaMikdash, using something for your purpose, when it was supposed to be designated for the Beis HaMikdash. So that's also, the Torah does speak about Me'ila, no doubt. And a person who uses something that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash B'shogeg has to bring an Asham Me'ila. So guilt offering has to be brought and you have to pay and add on a fifth. So these are halachos that apply to the Korban Me'ila. Now the only thing is, there are halachos that are not written explicitly in the Chumash that I would not have known and applied to Me'ila without Torah Shel Baal Peh. And what is that? One of the ones that the Gemara specifically speaks of is the fact that shlichus, that appointing a messenger, an agent, will apply in this case. The general rule is ein shliach ledavar avera, that if a person asks an agent to do an avera for him, we don't assume that generally there's a concept of shlichus. Shlichus applies to kiddushin, applies to gerushin, applies to karbanos, applies to separating shruma. The Gemara has in the beginning of the second parak of kiddushin. But the general rule is if you ask someone to do an avera for you, so then the person who does the avera gets the avera, not the mishaleach, not the one who sends. They would say ein shliach ledavar avera, based on the rule, just from last, derived really from last week's Pasha Pashas Bereishis from the Nachash, we say divrei harav, divrei ha-talmid, divrei mishomen. When the master tells you one thing, and the Talmud tells you something else, who do you listen to? You listen to the master. So if Hashem says don't eat from Neitz Hadas, and the Nachash, who is the Talmud, so to speak, says eat from Neitz Hadas, who do you listen to? Obviously, Chav and Adam is supposed to listen to the master, Hashem. That goes without saying. So that's why we say ein shliach ledavar avera. However, Mi'ila is an exception. The Gemara derives exegetically, the Gemara learns how I know that the rule of ein shliach ledavar avera does not apply to Mi'ila. And that would mean, if, let's say, I ask somebody, say, oh, can you please take these coins and can you buy me something, buy me a chocolate bar from the store? And I've totally forgot that these coins were hektesh. I designate them as hektesh. And the person now does this. So who did the avera? So we would say there, oh, ein shliach ledavar avera, it should be that the person did the avera. He's the one who misappropriated the coins for hekdesh purposes. Who has to bring the ashamilos? I do. There we say shlichus does apply to, even though there's an avera. So that's something that's a halacha derived from Torah Shel Baal Peh, not written in the Chumash at all. Then the Mishnah has another category, hadinim, which is, we'll just list them first, hadinim, when it comes to the laws that apply to property, v'ha'avodos, and sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, v'ha'hataros, v'ha'tumos, laws of purity and impurity, v'ha'arayos, there yesh lahem al ma yismochu. There we'll say that there is support from Chumash, from the Torah, to rely, and obviously there's Torah Shabbat Peh as well, but we have many halachos written explicitly in the Chumash. So what are these categories? So take dinim, the laws involving nezikin, property damage. So it's true the Torah does speak about them explicitly, but there are halachos also that are derived to the Torah Shabbat Peh. The example the Gemara gives is if Yudah Hanasi holds, let's say someone intended to kill Reuven, and in the end, he ended up killing someone else. So the halacha is that you have to pay the value of the person you killed. It's not chayiv misa because it was not premeditated on that particular victim. A Rebbe learns this halacha from v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh, not the simple reading of the pasuk, because that pasuk sounds like you're a soul for a soul. The fact that you're paying money, so this is also something that's derived through Torah Shabbat al Peh. That's the regarding dinim. Avodos. So avodos, Torah speaks about avod a lot. We speak about all the different parts of the avoda. They have to sacrifice the animal. We speak about karbanos, animals, and flower offerings. Plenty of halachos. Yesh lema ma yismochu. But nonetheless, there's also something that's derived also Torah Shabbat al Peh, and that is the fact that where we learn that there's a halacha of holacha, where there are four avodos when it comes to an animal, to a sacrifice. There's shechita, which can be done even by a zari or by a non-kohen. There's kabbalah of the blood. There's holacha, bringing the blood to the mizbech. And then there's the zrika. Holacha, though, is not really written explicitly in the pasuk. It says vihikrivu. Vihikrivu means to draw near, to bring close. So here, the Torah uses vihikrivu and assumes that that refers to receiving the blood in a klisharis. Now you'll say, hold on one second. Doesn't that tell me about carrying the blood there? No, so it comes to tell you the following. Vihikrivu is there to tell you that although that's there to teach you about the Kabbalah Hadam, it's there to tell you that just like the receiving of the blood is one of the avodos, so too, carrying the blood to the Mizbeach is one of the avodos as well. Also, Torah Shabbat Peh. What about Tahara, Taharos? So here, the halacha, Torah speaks about this as well. But with the fact that a person becomes tameh and becomes pure through immersion in the mikvah, there are several halachos that also derive Torah Shabbat, a lot of halachos. What's the size of the mikvah that we know and how you matar yourself? These are things, how do I know the size of the mikvah? Also derived exegetically. The Torah speaks about a person going to the mikvah. How do I know how big the mikvah has to be? We assume it's the size of a person. We assume the average person is, let's say, 3 amos tall, 1 amah wide, 1 amah in depth. So put that together, that equals approximately 40 saw worth. And obviously the mikvos have a lot more water, but also not something written explicitly in the Chumash. V'hatmeos. You have things that are metame. So the Torah, an nevela, a dead animal, a dead deer, let's say, is metame, a dead kosher animal. But even a sheretz, the trutzim discussed after in their death, on metame, a high level of an av hatuma. How much? What's the shiur? The Torah doesn't say. Also, Torah Shabbat Peh happens to be the sheretz is metame ka'adasha, the size of a lentil. And arayos, the Mishnah says, also on that list, yesh lahem al ma yismochu. The Torah speaks about many halachos when it comes to arayos. Nonetheless, one that is not written explicitly in the Torah is bito me'anusaso, which is the fact that there's going to be a prohibition. Let's say a person has a daughter born out of wedlock. You're not allowed to live with her either. That's also not written explicitly in the Chumash, but it's derived also exegetically as many of these halachos. And the Mishnah therefore concludes, hein, gufei Torah. The laws that are known through Torah Shabbat Peh and those written explicitly in the Chumash are all considered essentials of the Torah, and therefore have equal weight and should be followed equally. We begin the second parak of Chagiga. Mishnah here says the following: Ein dorshin ba'arayos v'shlosha. You're not permitted to teach publicly or expound the laws or the subject of arayos, of illicit relationships, bishlosha, with 3 people. You can do it with more. Or the Mishnah here says you can do it with less, rather, but not with more. What does it mean? So the Torah speaks about, obviously, speaks about many of the unions that are prohibited. between men and women, and the Torah has a whole list, Acharemos and Kedoshim, as well. So what it's coming to teach you is that a person, a teacher, should not expound on this subject in the presence of three or more students. What are we afraid of? We're afraid that he'll get very involved in a particular discussion with one of the students, and the other students, two students, are speaking amongst themselves, and if they're not paying attention, they may misunderstand some of the laws, they may misinterpret the laws, they may think that maybe even the laws, relationships, not really speaking about sexual relationships physically, maybe it's supposed to understand this metaphorically. Many things can be misinterpreted, especially when there's a Yetzer Hara involved, and therefore it's something that should be done, Ein Dorshin Ba'arayos B'Shlosha. Three people know. We're afraid that while you're having a one-on-one discussion, one of the students who had a question, the other two will discuss something on the side and have some misinterpretation and misunderstand what's happening. But you can do it with two people and certainly one-on-one. And then the Mishnah says, V'lo b'maseh bereishis b'shnayim. You want to speak about maseh bereishis, so that you can't even do with two people. One-on-one is okay. What are we afraid of? So speaking about creation, so this is very difficult. Some say this refers to Hashem's name, the divine name, which is composed of 42 letters. That's also, which is, comes from the first two psukim of Bereishis. This we're afraid of. The Rambam understands that we're speaking about nature and the laws. Very complex. People also, you have to speak with one student at a time. Maybe so, according to some, this refers to Kabbalah. Also, people will not understand it. So Maaseh Bereishis, you should have, lo b'maaseh b'shnayim, can't do even one teacher to two students. It should be one-on-one. Having even two students is going to make this very difficult. And the Gemara learns this on Yud Aleph and Beis, based on the passage that says in Devarim, Ki sha'al na liyamim rishonim. The fact that it says sha'al in the singular, that refers, you want to speak about yamim rishonim, what existed at the time of creation? Only a single person can inquire into that, and you can answer one person, but not more than that. Just to go back to the issue of Arayos, so there is an issue, there is a question of why that is would be something difficult, something we should not do with three, but less than three is okay. Some of the questions that may come up is when, once you learn Chumash, you learn Bereishis. So after you learn about Maaseh Bereishis, you're going to learn about Kain and Hevel. Kain and Hevel, so according to our tradition, so they that maybe they married their sisters. That's where they populated the world. We know that Yaakov married two sisters. So that's also something that we would question. So therefore, it's something that needs a one Arayos one-on-two discussion or less, and Maaseh Bereishis one-on-one discussion or less, or you learn it by yourself. V'lo b'merkava b'yachid. But when it comes to Maaseh Merkava is the esoteric, mystical discussion of the worlds, the heavenly worlds that you have in the first parak of Yecheskel, that which we mentioned this, we learned the end of Megillah, a perfect thing to lay as the Haftorah on the first day of Shavuos, when if people stayed up all night, are sleeping anyway, so they don't really understand, they're not paying attention. So this is the Maaseh Merkava. What's the issue here? It's Hashem, the knowledge of Hashem, Hashem's attributes, the angels, the soul, things that we can't really completely fathom. Also refers to Kabbalah. Maybe it refers to Ruach. Maybe it refers to the world of Malachim, of the angels, which we can't fully understand. So that you can't even learn Biyachid by yourself. Elam Cain, the Mishnah says, Hayachachim umevin midato. Lest a person is wise and could understand it through his knowledge. Based on the Pasuk in Mishlei, Kavod Elokim Haster Davar, when it comes to the honor of God, the secrets of the Merkava, is something that that's the Kavod Hashem and Haster Davar, better to keep it concealed. The Gemara also on that Yud Gimel and Amen Aleph quotes the Pasuk from Shir Hashim, Devash V'chalav Tachas L'shonech. Honey and milk should be under your tongue, which means in the mystery of the Merkava, that which is sweet as honey and milk should be concealed under your tongue and not discussed. Then the Mishnah says, Kol Mistakel Barba Dvarim Roy Lo Ki'ilu Lo Bala Olam. Anyone who looks at these four things, speculates on these things, analyzes these things, better than even come into the world. What are these things? Because these are things that get you very confused and lead you astray. We shouldn't spend time thinking about these things because we just simply cannot comprehend them as human beings. Things that are beyond, when we live within time and God is lives beyond time. So to understand these things is impossible. You should not spend time studying them. Number one is Mala Mala. what's above the finite universe. That we can't understand. And some say Mala Mala, says the Baratunu Me Rashi Achayos, where the Achayos are the tallest of the angels. Gemara discusses what's above the Chayos. That we can't possibly understand. Malamata, what's below the finite universe. So how do we think about that? We can't think about that either. Malifanim, what is before, maybe understood as what happened before time was created. How's that, before the world was created, let's say. So that's also something we really shouldn't might be thinking about. That's malifanim. And malachor, what will be after, which, or what will be the end of time. Let's say for time has to have an end. So that's also something we should not be contemplating. V'chol shelo chas al kavod kono, anyone who doesn't have regard for Hashem's honor, roy lo shelo bala olam, it's better he didn't come into the world. What does that mean? Not having have any rachman, having any regard for Hashem's kavod, is someone who sins secretly and says, "Oh, you know, Hashem doesn't see." Bar Tanur says, "Shover aver b'seisiv amar ein shchina metzuya umiroeni." Right? No, in shchina metzuya shkan. The shchina is God's presence is not here. Umiroeni miyodeni. Who's going to see me? Who's going to know what I'm doing? Such a person who's not ashamed at all. Only when people see him. But God, he doesn't. But God. Not so such a person, royal or better, that he not come into this world.